We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Search update.
All right, spots are filling up. Texans and Eagles are the only remaining openings. However, Eric Bieniemy interviewing with the Texans today. Props to the NFL for changing what was a whack rule that they had there. Bieniemy getting interviewed today. Eberflus, after reports of declining an interview, he's getting interviewed, or he already got interviewed. So two guys that Deshaun Watson has spoken highly of. Still on the market when it comes to the Houston Texans. I think all signs point to Bieniemy. I think the interviews that they've had so far, I think all signs do point to Bieniemy. And I think with the situation they're in, I think having an alpha, and we will, if Eric Bieniemy is hired, we will have the debate over the offense and, you know, what to expect when Bieniemy is the overseer if he does get hired. But as far as what this team needs right now, I think they need an alpha, hard-ass type of guy. And I think Eric Bieniemy, no one's ever denied that when it comes to Eric Bieniemy. I think he's got a legit chance to get the job, and I think Leslie Frazier getting interviewed as well as David Coley, two guys who've worked with Eric Bieniemy before. I don't know what their contract situations are. I think you could actually make Coley the offensive coordinator if you wanted to, and Bieniemy could still call the plays, which apparently he would want to do because that would be a promotion, the offensive coordinator job.
Yeah.
So I wonder if these guys, Leslie Frazier and Coley, could potentially be a part of Bieniemy's staff. You don't seem as convinced that Bieniemy is going to be the guy.
I don't think they can be a part of his staff. I'll say that. I also think Bieniemy should be the guy. Absolutely. He was right up there with, I think my 1-2-3 were Robert Saleh, then Bieniemy, then Eberflus. Well, Saleh and Eberflus, I'm talking about when everybody was still on the board.
Right. So you got 2 out of 3. Not bad.
2 out of 3 are hired already. I think Bieniemy should be, I'm just trying to illustrate that's how much I like Bieniemy. I just don't think it's going to happen, man. And maybe it's just a total lack of confidence in anything the Texans are doing right now. And I think I'm well justified in not having that confidence.
They don't deserve anybody's trust.
No benefit of the doubt.
And I thought it was laughable when Cal McNair had that press conference 2 Fridays ago. His reaction Monday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, presented by Coors Light. It was comical when he went up there and said, our fans should trust that we're going to make the right decision.
Right.
Based on what?
Exactly.
How the hell am I supposed to trust you?
So you're saying Eric Bieniemy is the leader in the clubhouse. I want to say, me too. I can't say that. I want it to be. I want Bieniemy to be the guy. I've wanted him. Like I said, he was my top three. I don't trust anything the Texans are doing right now. I'm sorry.
No, you shouldn't.
I'm sorry. That's where we are.
You'd be a weirdo if you did.
Yeah.
You'd be a weirdo.
I'm sorry that's where we are, but that's where we are.
No, they got a guy. Right. They got a guy in there who was allowed to basically play make-believe personnel guy last year in Jack Easterby, who's still lingering around and getting stories written about him every damn day. You shouldn't trust him. You've got an owner in Cal McNair who told Deshaun Watson, hey, I'm going to make you part of the process. You're not going to find out big announcements via text. And then it happens a couple weeks into the process. If you trust the Houston Texans right now, you're a damn fool.
Right.
But there is light at the end of the tunnel to where the ship can be righted. If you do hire Eric Bieniemy or you do hire Matt Eberflus, I think people would be somewhat satisfied with that. I know Deshaun Watson's had good things to say about both of those guys. So while you've lost hope, a lot of people have lost hope, and a lot of people have trust issues with Cal McNair, it's right there on a plate for Cal McNair.
I'm not saying it's
not. To make the right decision.
Eric Bieniemy is falling into your lap for a number of reasons, whether it's personal preference, whether it's because a lot of people are rubbed the wrong way by his personality and his past, whether it's because they're still in the playoffs and they wanted to get rolling. He's still falling right into your lap. I have a very bad feeling that the Texans are going to screw this up. And even if they don't, all right?
Yeah.
Even if they, if Kyle McNair, you know, finally says, what'd you say he needed to grow? Some coconuts?
Some coconuts.
Even if he grows some coconuts and says, hey, Nick, Jack, it's my call. We're hiring Bieniemy. Even if he does that, a million points. He gets a million points for that. He gets all credit in the world. I don't know how long it's going to work or if it's going to be successful because Jack Easterby's still in the
building.
That's
what I disagree with. I don't think Cal McNair should be the one to make the hire. I think Nick Caserio has to be the one to make the hire.
Well, I'm saying whomever it is.
I don't want Cal McNair making any decisions. I want Cal McNair making as few decisions as possible.
Okay, but that's not the point I'm trying to make.
I want it to be Caserio talking to him and liking it.
Let's say it is Nick Caserio that hires him. That's not the point. My point is, as long as Jack Easterby's in that building, even if they hire Eric Bieniemy, this thing is going to explode in a bad way.
Which brings me to this. Could Nick Caserio fire Jack Easterby? Because say what you want about their relationship. Nick Caserio, I don't think he could have anticipated this being as bad as it is. I don't think he could have anticipated Cal McNair being as messy as he was with the process. My question for Cal McNair, my question with this whole thing, 713-572-4610, if you want to get in on Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light, is can Caserio fire Easterby? That is the 100% number one question John McClain should be asking. Because based on the way that Cal has spoken about it, it doesn't seem like he left it up to Caserio. And if it was up to Caserio, is he allowed to change his mind and say, I want Easterby out of here. I don't want any distractions during my first GM job, so I'm going to let him go. Would he be able to make that decision?
I'll answer you in my John McClain. Of course he could fire him. That doesn't mean he is. He can fire him. He can fire him today.
You sure?
According to his owner, on the record, publicly saying, our general manager is going to have complete say in Jack Easterby's role here. Nick Caserio can absolutely just issue a press conference through whoever is running PR today that he's firing Jack Easterby. He won't. He won't do that. Not going to happen. And that's why that's why I'm so skeptical on this Bieniemy thing.
Eric Bieniemy interviewing with the Texans today. Deshaun Watson actually has spoken. He actually told protesters at NRG to back off. Let's be COVID friendly. I know you want to fire Easterby. I know you want Cal McNair to be accountable, but he told the protesters to back off. Here's a little taste of what those protesters had in mind when it came to going to NRG. By the way, the march started at
it's over.
Lefty's Cheesesteak, and they walked over to NRG.
It's over.
By the bull. Here was the goal of that protest, courtesy of our guy Ruben from 713 Sports.
It is now time to stand up. It is time to go to NRG, and it is time to peacefully protest. We are going to meet at Deshaun Watson's restaurant at 8057 Kirby Drive Suite A, Houston, Texas, 77054 at 11 a.m. Then we are walking down and going to Kirby to protest in front of the bull and be there at 11 because this is now our time to show that we are frustrated. We now have a franchise QB and we are screwing it up. We need Cal to listen. We need Jack Easterby to be scared, to be trembling, because we are going to put pressure on this. There's going to be no drama. It's going to be all love. We're coming under one name, and that is the name of Houston Texans. Guys, we are going to come here and peacefully protest. Wear your mask. I will have some waters there.
Oh,
Hashtag
wow.
Fire Easterby, guys. As always, I hope to see you there tomorrow. You have a blessed day.
Tomorrow, of course, is today. They went there. That's our guy Ruben right there, making it clear it is a peaceful
I love that
protest.
Part. And we're going to peacefully protest. I guess you got to say that nowadays.
They might take credit for the Bieniemy interview. You never know. Maybe they weren't. Maybe the Bieniemy interview got sped up because of that protest. You never know, John.
Yeah.
Brandon Scott of Sports Radio 610 was at the protest. He was on the scene. He's always got those boots on
He's
the ground.
Everywhere.
B. Scott, how'd it go? How'd it look?
It looks stupid. I will give him that. The funniest part about it, Landry, is that under the Lefty's parking lot waiting on this thing to get started, it's about 20 people that have gathered at that point. Deshaun's tweet drops right before they're getting ready to do this. It's really like not even a whole 2 minutes after his tweet, you know, like as if they hadn't seen. And it was really too late at that point. I mean, they're up there in their jerseys, with their signs, and, you know, with their Texans mask on, and they're ready, man. Like, somebody just said on Twitter, or quote tweeted one of the videos that I posted, these are the real fans. And that part I'd have to agree with. These were the real fans out there, like, for real.
There we go. He's got, where does this rank on all the things you've covered in your life, if you had to rank it?
Man, I tell you what, the shutdown. But in my career, I've covered 7 state executions. So this is better than that.
Oh, definitely better than that.
There you go.
This is better than doing that. So I'll tell you that. For on the ground coverage, this is better than watching somebody die.
Okay, there you go, Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com. It's about as good a review as you can get.
This is better than watching somebody die.
Brandon, we appreciate you, man.
I will say this,
no
Landry.
Doubt.
Thanks, man. I will say this, the fact that we're even here, that even 50 people did it, and then I was talking to B. Scott in the hallway earlier, he said it was about 50, 60 maybe. The fact that people are even considering and even organizing on a small level to protest the possibility of Deshaun Watson getting traded is ludicrous. Ludicrous.
Yeah, he ain't getting traded. He ain't getting traded.
You sure?
I'm sure. Deshaun ain't going nowhere.
Sure.
I'm very sure.
You're willing to bet your car on it?
Bet you whatever you want to bet. Deshaun Watson ain't going
nowhere. Oh, now you sound like someone else who usually joins us on
Deshaun
Tuesday.
Watson ain't going nowhere. John McClain, by the way, going to join us on.
I'm cool with it.
He's going to join us on Thursday because he's got some Hall of Fame obligations.
McClain said
tomorrow.
Earlier he stood a better chance of being named the coach of this team than Deshaun getting traded. I wonder how he feels about that now.
The biggest
disagreement
that McClain and I have had the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever, since Bill O'Brien got fired,
mm-hmm.
was when we talked about this job and we talked about the appeal of this job, this Texans job, he would say, you know, ownership was a positive. And I just simply said, based on what?
Yeah.
What are we judging Cal McNair by? Surely, when he joins us on Thursday, he can't double down on that and say that ownership is a positive now. Like, not even he can say that, right?
If you're considered the worst.
Because if he says that, I'm hanging up on him. We're not going to finish the whole hour.
Rude.
No. If he is still selling Texans ownership right now, there's nothing that we can talk about. Straight
Texans
up, like, there's nothing we can talk about, John.
Look, all the dysfunction points back to ownership. We can, and we have, argue about Jack Easterby. All we want. And
he could be gone if one guy said two words.
Exactly. Jack Easterby is a con man. Jack Easterby is a power-hungry, bad seed in that building. Jack Easterby is disliked. Jack Easterby lacks confidence from anyone in that building, including potential head coaches. Jack Easterby is awful for this organization. But that's not the problem. The problem is ownership letting it happen.
And Cal apologized for it last Friday. He apologized for all this stuff. He basically took the blame for Jack Easterby, which is fine because I think Cal does deserve some of the blame. I was actually giving him the benefit of the doubt, but he did take the blame. But do you think Jack Easterby is still a winning piece right now? That's the one thing that I wonder. And I just want to – McClain cannot say that ownership is a positive for the Texans. I'm not going to sit here and say that the ship can't be righted and that there's not hope. Especially with Eberflus and Bieniemy still on the market, and after today, both of them will have interviewed for the Texans' job. But you can't tell me this is still a positive right now. Can it become
it's
one?
Not.
Yes, I'm telling you, we're not going a full hour with him on Thursday if he says that.
No,
Figgy's hanging up. I'm serious. I'm leaving. Like
I don't know what he had to do.
I'm not playing that game. Well, I'm not doing that.
And we can have this discussion.
That's disrespectful to the loopholes, and that's disrespectful to everybody if we're going to sit here and sell that.
I hear you.
Unless he wants to try to sell it.
And we can.
John, you're moving the goalposts.
And I can bring this up with John as well on Thursday, not Tuesday this week, by the way, if you didn't hear Landry earlier. But no, Jack Easterby is a huge, huge, huge issue. The issue today is letting it happen. The issue today is Adam Schefter saying Deshaun Watson might have played his last snap for the Texans. Adam Schefter is right all the time. The problem is Adam Schefter saying that the Houston Texans have gone from one of the premier destinations for potential head coaches to the bottom of the barrel, number 32. That's because of Jack Easterby, but But how is Jack Easterby still here? It's ownership. It's letting it happen.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Do you have any confidence that Cal can make this right? There's an opportunity, but is Cal McNair going to take it? Next.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Eric Bieniemy interviewing today. Matt Eberflus interviewed recently. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. The opportunity is right there. Two guys that Deshaun Watson's on record saying are coaches that he respects are there for the taking. The question is Nick Caserio going to make that decision and hire one of those guys? And is Deshaun Watson going to be happy? That's the most important thing here, is making your franchise quarterback happy. But the beef right now with Deshaun Watson, just based on reading and based on context clues, it appears to be with somebody who's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Cal McNair. And those are the trust issues in Houston as we sit right now. Can Cal McNair make this right? Because by most accounts, he's the one who screwed this up.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Can he?
Can he fix it?
Yes.
Of course he can. He can do it right now. He could do it before we finish this segment. Will he is the question. And I think part of what Cal McNair, when he came out and spoke with John McClain last week, and we, you know, we had John McClain shortly thereafter after he posted it, how Jack Easterby is not going anywhere. I guess there had been a couple of reports here and there that Easterby, you know, there were discussions about Easterby's job. You look back, and really, if you know anything about how entrenched they are with Jack Easterby, it's almost laughable. So, no, he's not going to do it. He's actually, to this point, picking Jack Easterby over Deshaun Watson. Because we can all agree, Deshaun Watson, at minimum, is really upset. At minimum, is not comfortable with how the organization is being run. And also not happy that he wasn't included in the process. So given number one being that Deshaun Watson is not happy and frustrated and angry, and the second part of that, number two, is Jack Easterby would go, letting go of Jack Easterby would go a long way toward repairing that, you're picking Jack Easterby.
The problem is, I think I'm going in a different direction than you. Because I think there's actually proof, and there's tangible proof even recently, if you read the SI article that was put out this Saturday, that Deshaun Watson at some point in time has actually liked Jack Easterby, to the point where even in the story, when there was the fire Jack Easterby sign, Deshaun Watson went over to the person with the sign and told him to take it down. Now, SI added their own touch and said, whether or not he was asked to do it or not, blah, 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 which I thought was weird by SI, because the only fact we know is that Deshaun asked someone to take down that sign. Deshaun also negotiated his contract with Jack Easterby. So he's on record at least saying some good things about Jack Easterby and defending Jack Easterby even within the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until Cal McNair became more involved that this stuff started happening. So that, to me, tells me that this is more of a Cal McNair thing. And I think Chris Mortensen said,
yeah, it is,
something along the lines of Cal can't fire himself. It appears to be more of a Cal McNair thing than it does Jack Easterby, because at least we have some sort of evidence that Deshaun Watson has had some good things to say about Jack Easterby even recently.
He's also said he's just getting to know him, you know. So mixed messaging there. I also feel like, you know, Deshaun Watson, the contract is almost unimportant in this discussion, because he was going to get that contract. By the way, no trade clause. That's interesting that Jack Easterby got fleeced on that, because now Deshaun, if they do trade him, he can pick where he goes. That's very, very interesting.
Which Joe Corey said is rare. Joe Corey, the guy that you go to for these types of things, it's rare to have a no trade clause, especially for something that much of a contract. So good job, Jack Easterby.
Yeah, for messing that up.
That internship in Jacksonville really paid off there, bud.
But doesn't that mean that, you know, that they were kind of thinking about this in advance a little bit? Hey, if this thing goes to bleep, you know, maybe you can manipulate where you do end up playing next by having a no-trade clause, so you can actually approve the deals that are potentially out there. So Jack Easterby screwed that up. So I think it's certainly possible that Jack Easterby is you know, one of the problems. But you're right. It's turned into a Cal problem, maybe as a result of Jack Easterby, but it's turned into a Cal problem for him as well.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. The thing about Cal McNair, though, compared to other polarizing owners, and Cal McNair has become a polarizing guy, really, despite not really having like a real polarizing personality. He called himself an introvert on HoustonTexans.com. Most of these guys, I think, want to do too much. A lot of times when you think of a meddling owner, Tillman Fertitta going out and calling out Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey, Jerry Jones wanting to do everything.
Yeah.
Usually when you have this type of owner that is this polarizing, is getting this much attention and making players upset, the franchise quarterback, the franchise player, that owner wants to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That owner wants to meddle. I think Cal McNair wants to do as little as possible and stay out of the way. Which is really all you can ask. If Cal McNair would hire,
I think you're right,
the right Jack Easterby, the right guy to do what Jack Easterby's doing right now, then I think you would get everything you want in an owner. The problem is he's not hiring the right guy to do these tasks. If he just hired someone to do what Easterby is doing right now that can be trusted, that isn't going to screw up personnel, that isn't going to rub players the wrong way, according to all these reports, Cal McNair is everything you would want in an owner. But right now, he's hiring a guy to do stuff that just appears to be the wrong guy to be handling those tasks.
I don't know if I'm – oh, I get your point. But I don't want an owner that's just going to say, you do this and whatever you say, I'll do. There's an in-between area there. I want an owner that – clearly is not over the top involved in trying to do everything. You mentioned Tillman Fertitta, but I also don't want a guy that says, you do it. I don't want to look at that. You know, that scares me to want to get the in between is hire people that are, you have confidence in will get it done. Right. Hadn't done that. Maybe Nick Caserio, but hadn't done that with Jack Easterby. But then ultimately have them bring it to you and you make the definitive confident call. That's the problem. I don't want the Tillman Fertitta, but I don't also want the guy that's like, kind of just, afraid to take a stand.
Well, I mean, what do you think you're going to get?
Well, I would hope that.
You think all of a sudden Cal's going to go up there and stick his chest out?
I did like when Cal said, this is my decision and my decision alone, but then didn't quite work out that way.
You just got to be less messy. Like, you've got to, if you want to hire Nick Caserio, maybe have Jack Easterby not hop on the plane.
Exactly.
Like that might be, the first step. Like, have Jack Easterby just stay away and not hop on the plane. Right? I mean,
yes.
it's
optics.
That easy.
Optics.
Right. And if you're going to tell Deshaun Watson that he's going to have input, then just text him. Just don't be this messy. And again, like, a lot of times rookies make mistakes, young quarterbacks make mistakes, young coaches make mistakes. Next coach of the Texans is probably going to make a lot of mistakes with his first head coaching job. But if Cal McNair is going to make these types of mistakes, they can be even more costly than anything that we just mentioned. It can cost you something that we've been starving for the last 15 years. That's what he's got to do. Just don't be so messy. Tighten it up a little bit. Tighten it up. Figure it out.
And it goes back to Deshaun Watson knowing this. You know, he's been CEO. He's worked under a CEO named Dabo Swinney. You know, he knows what leadership and confidence in your decision-making is all about. He's been pretty tight with a lot of quarterbacks around the league, and it's a small club. He knows how Patrick Mahomes feels about ownership there and the head coach there. He knows how Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers and all these guys that are in, that are in that quarterback club, what their experiences are like. And he's sitting there going, what the hell? And that's why the frustration is there. And plus, their agents know, and his agent knows.
Oh, they smell blood.
Yeah.
I mean, you smell blood. You look at Cal McNair and the way he's handling things, you smell blood. If you want to make a power play, that's the guy
that's
go.
That's the soft target
right now. You're coming across as a very soft target. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light. If Deshaun Watson were traded, what would be the appropriate compensation? next.
EA Sports. It's in the game. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, it's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Could the Texans do the unthinkable? Could they trade Deshaun Watson? Here's Ian Rapoport of NFL Network talking about the possibility of that very thing happening.
Here's what we know, the facts of this situation. The Texans have not said that they would trade Deshaun Watson. In fact, it has been just the opposite from everyone who has been publicly on the record about Deshaun Watson. He is their quarterback, and they want to keep him. Watson also, despite being upset with the organization for various reasons, has not requested a trade. But that has not stopped teams from calling the Texans and inquiring. And, of course, publicly we have discussed the New York Jets. The Miami Dolphins are a popular team for fans to Photoshop Deshaun Watson onto. I would just say keep an eye on the Carolina Panthers as well. I know they want they still need an answer on their quarterback situation. Teddy Bridgewater was, I would say, did not establish himself as the franchise guy. They have an owner who embraces bold moves and bold thinking. At least this is something that should not be discounted if we get to the point where the Texans were even willing to trade Deshaun Watson.
What's appropriate compensation for Deshaun Watson if you're going to make the deal?
I'm thinking at least two firsts and a later round pick and a player. So, and again, it all depends on where in the draft. Let's use the Panthers as an example. I'm not saying I can feel what you're doing, Figgy, but I could feel it happening. I could feel it. All I'm saying is you ask me the question, I'm going to give you an answer. I think it's two firsts, a later round, maybe fourth, and a player. If that's the Carolina Panthers, they're picking number 8 overall, something like that. I think the bigger point here is kind of it's kind of scary, to be honest. If you haven't said you're trading Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson hasn't said he wants a trade, but you're having discussions, isn't that considering it? I mean, if you're having, unless the discussion is, you know, you call me and you're the Panthers and you say, hey, wanted to see about any possibilities for making a deal for Deshaun Watson. My discussion should be, thank you, we're not interested, and hang up. Unless that's the discussion, if you're saying, well, you know, what are you talking about? Then you're considering it. If you're having any discussion at all, you're considering it.
I would say three firsts, 2 seconds, something like that. If it's the Dolphins,
early seconds,
that would probably be appropriate compensation. I don't know. I've heard five firsts. I have no idea. I don't think it's going to happen. And quite honestly, maybe I'm just kind of we're a little bit too close to the situation, but this is the one time where I don't really trust Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter as much as I normally would in the Peter Kings, because it does feel like these guys who were, I think, being fed stories before, who were very outraged whenever Amy Paulsik was fired, it does seem like they're going for blood a little bit, and they're putting their own little shimmy on these reports that I don't usually see from them. It almost seems like they're kind of enjoying this situation and going, and there need to be flames. I'm not saying it's fake news. I'm not playing that card. I'm just saying it does seem like they're sprinkling it in a little bit, and it does seem like more people, whether it's former employees, whether it's current disgruntled employees, whether it's former coaches, it does seem like more people, because there are so many lingerers at NRG,
yeah,
are willing to talk. And when you're a journalist, you roll with those quotes. You roll with those quotes because those people are talking. But also, when those people talking have an axe to grind, I think you got to take it with a grain of salt. So I don't know what the hell there have been discussions really means. I don't know where that's coming from.
All right, so let me defend this a little bit. Not defend them. I just feel like most, in any realm, most writers and reporters at that level, they're not so amateurish that they'll just believe someone that tells them something. You know, they're like, well, they follow it up. They have multiple people that they usually talk with because it's their ass. I mean, it's their reputation on the line. You're talking about guys that have great reputations. So I think there's some validity to it. I really do.
But is there any consequence to saying there have been discussions had? Like, what, when you say it's their ass, what's the
well,
consequence?
Well, I'm saying their reputation gets hurt. And let me just tell you one other thing. I've had a discussion with someone who said that he's, you know, I was tweeting it Saturday. You know, a lot of people were commenting on it. I talked to people about it. Up in Dallas, I'm going to be on San Antonio earlier. It's a matter of like, is this just noise? Is this axe to grind, as you put it? Or is this legit? I can tell you, just me, little old me here in Houston, Texas, I can tell you there's some validity to what Deshaun Watson is feeling about the Houston Texans. I can just flat out tell you that. I believe it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's upset. For sure. I mean, I think his camp wants you to know that he's upset. I think the camp is almost posturing and trying to make a power move, which I appreciate because I think it's necessary with Cal and Jack calling the shots. I think it's necessary. Mm-hmm. But I do think that
all that said,
Schefter put out basically the same story for three straight days.
All that said, there are stories that you enjoy writing more than others, you know, and maybe he's enjoying the fact that he's verified some of these things because of the, not axe to grind, but because of the bitter feelings that he had about Amy and Chris Olsen and Brian Gain, etc.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at Adam Schefter's Twitter feed when it happened, I mean, it was retweets of criticism and all that. So I do think there's a little bit there, but good. I mean, good. Like, yeah. Hold the feet to the fire. Let's get some accountability. Let's not, you know, let. I damn sure don't want Jack Easterby making moves and making personnel decisions. So maybe this just increases the accountability and at least the awareness, because Cal is aware of what's going on. Make no mistake about it. You can say what you want. He knows what's going on. He knows there's smoke there. On the text line, people are saying you need at least four first-round picks because you did trade two for Tunsil. I agree, although I would be careful when it comes to comparing trades made by Bill O'Brien with trades that are made in reality. But I would say five first. I mean, you could maybe get five firsts for Deshaun Watson. It's possible.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Goes back to that Aaron Rodgers thing that Nick, you know, that I'm stealing, that I'll steal from Nick. If he's that good, I mean, he's worth three, four, maybe five. Absolutely. If he's that good for you.
Reaction Monday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Let's go to Luis. Luis, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm a fan for so many years. I'm just so frustrated. You know, all this, it's all Kyle McNair's blame. You know, Adam Schefter is not going to stop writing stories until this man mans up, the owner, and says, hey, you know what? This is my quarterback. I bet you Bob McNair is rolling right now, and he will not allow this 3 or 4 weeks of talking about Deshaun being traded. This is crazy.
People wanting Bob. This doesn't happen with Bob, right?
No, it doesn't happen.
No chance?
Bob. Nope. And Bob was a very faithful man, about as faithful as I've known, but he's also very shrewd and has a lot more savvy to him, you know, to be able to make the right call.
The SI column on Jack Easterby, it was interesting that, according to the report, he's going around the building, and Easterby denied a lot of these claims, but he's going around the building saying that he's going to sue Sports Illustrated, and that as a result of that, he's going to get their entire list of sources. Is that how it works in journalism? Because that seems like that would just be too easy, to where anytime someone writes something about you,
you can just
sue them and you get the source list. Is that how it works?
He's not this dumb. We know he's smart because of what he's able to accomplish with just smoke and mirrors, you know? So he's not this dumb. I think he's just angling, using this as his next sort of way to kind of get in with somebody over there on the building, or prove that he's right, or he's not that bad a guy.
How does that work, though?
You can't get him. You can't get, unless a judge makes an entity give them to you, you cannot get them. And even when a judge makes you, sometimes guys go to jail over sources and not revealing sources. This is just ignorant. Again, he's not a dumb guy, but this is ignorant. To say, oh, yeah, I'll get their sources. Okay, good luck with that.
There's also reports of Easterby walking around the building. Apparently, he made a speech late in the season that he thought he just nailed, and the team thought it was weird, and a lot of players left, quote, pissed off, per Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. And apparently, he's been going around the building praying with Cal McNair for wisdom when making these tough decisions. And with random employees, asking them if he can stop in the middle of the hall and pray for them.
I mean, come on, man. What are you doing? So you're walking down the hall. You stop John Harris. Hey, John, before we get started, can I pray for you? No, I'd rather work on the jugs machine, but go ahead.
If my boss came up to me, if Armin
You would have to, right?
You better.
Right.
If Armin came up to me in the middle of the hall and he just said, hey, Landry, can we stop? Can we pray together?
I want to see that happen. I want to see that happen so bad. That look on Landry's face would be like,
here we go, baby.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
We got to tell Armin to do that.
Armin's got to pray with Landry in the hallway. Got to. You can't say no. And you know what, though? That's a power play. That's an I'm Jack Easterby. I'm the second or third most, probably second most powerful man in the building. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you pray with me, and I'm going to have this leverage over you. And you're going to, you know, just so you know where I am and who I am.
That's the biggest problem with religion, and I'm religious, but there's a large majority. I'm not going to lump everyone into one thing, but there's a large majority of people who their purpose is to spread the word of God, that bring people closer to God, and they truly are that, for lack of a better term, middleman between someone on earth and God. Mm-hmm. There is that. But there's also people who take advantage of that, and they put themselves on almost like a godly pedestal that you can actually see, to where being the voice of God to someone on earth is the number one way in which you abuse power. And if you are one of those people who does do such a thing, then being the middleman between Cal McNair and an agent, or Cal McNair and someone who's making a decision, whether it's Chris Olsen or something like that, it's almost easy. It's elementary.
Yeah.
If you can feel comfortable enough to be the middleman between God and a human being, the sky's the limit when it comes to ways that you can posture yourself and positions you can put yourself in.
When you use religion as a shield or as a buffer, I'm out. You and I both, we've talked about it. Our listeners know that, you know, we're faithful. We're religious. We go to church. I went this weekend. But when you use your faith as a shield and a buffer, I'm not going to say you're a fraud, because some people believe that that is actually their calling. But I'm out. I think that's insincere. You know, to me, religion is humility and privacy and being very, very devoted in your own way, you know, quietly and solemnly, et cetera. Some people think otherwise. That's fine. But don't do it at the workplace, man. If you're going to pray for something in the hallway, pray for Whitney Merciless to get a sack. For God's sake.
And Whitney Merciless contract.
Yeah.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Brian. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, guys, a couple quick things. If you want to get rid of Easterby, you're not going to fire him, then you got to send him on a bunch of road trips he doesn't want to go on for recruiting or scouting or business trips or something. Just get him out of the office and get him away. The other thing is, if we are going to trade Watson, what about trading him to San Diego for Justin Herbert and a couple picks?
I think sports.
It's in the game.
Why would they do that?
Yeah, I think that would be. They're on a rookie contract. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about that real quick. Like, legit, let's go EA
Hit
Sports.
Hit the EA one more time.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Rookie contract, new coach who took the job because of Herbert. Not that Brandon Staley wouldn't like coaching with him.
Lord.
Give me a legit.
What the hell are we doing?
A legit destination.
For who?
For Deshaun Watson.
Houston.
Let's talk. Well, I know that. Outside, we're doing the if, all right? If this is bubbling over, which it is, and it comes to that point, what's a legit destination?
H-Town.
All right, so you're not going to play.
I say no. The Jets.
I'm not playing this because he ain't going nowhere.
Okay, you're in stage one of denial. I'm way past stage one.
Ain't going nowhere.
Of the five stages, you're still in denial. We're way past that.
Ain't going nowhere.
Sean Pendergast, he and I were talking.
He does like Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
We were talking about the stages of denial. He says he's somewhere, they're denial, then anger, then bargaining, then depression, then acceptance. Sean said he's somewhere between bargaining and depression. I'm somewhere between depression and acceptance, to be honest. The Jets figure.
Come on.
Is possible.
Come on.
What's Drew Brees' future?
Their cap situation, effed.
Is bad.
Royally effed.
But they can do a lot of cutting.
They would have to do more than cutting.
And Drew Brees would be out. And they would have to do a lot of finagling.
Their cap situation is jacked.
It is, yeah.
Up.
It is. I looked at it this morning. But I think that, I mean, you know, so that's not legit.
He ain't going nowhere.
I think Jets could be legit.
He ain't going nowhere.
Although that's a rookie contract they're getting at the Jets, you know?
You get that number two pick.
Yeah.
Maybe trade back.
Carolina's interesting.
Maybe figure it out.
Carolina would be an interesting one. Number eight overall pick and multiple other picks and a player. Who do we like? McCaffrey?
McCaffrey.
Nah, I don't want to run back.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
That ain't happening.
Nah. It ain't happening. 713.
McCaffrey has something going for him that a lot of players don't.
572-4610. He's got deceptive speed. Race car! And that. Let's go to Sean from the Northwest. Sean, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
You know what? You guys are crazy on the Monday morning. You know, I don't know which. I think you guys have been drinking a lot of the monkey juice this morning. First of all, let me say this. I was out at NRG. It felt good. I had my mask on. And more importantly, I think Easter Bunny knows that something is coming down the pipeline for him. Two, this is, I want you guys to listen closely. Eventually, you guys are going to be shouting that bell, the thing that y'all do whenever something big is going on. They're going to hire Eric the Enemy by the end of this week. I guarantee it.
I hope.
They're going to hire Eric the Enemy.
I hope.
And I'll tell you why. I give you one legit reason why they're going to hire Eric the Enemy, because the Houston fans have been heard. And I'm quite sure, and I'm a season ticket holder, let's just say I may not have a source, but I'm guaranteeing, and I will shave my head bald if they don't hire Eric the Enemy by the end of this week, and I'm going to listen.
Man, I hope you're right.
What exactly did he say that made us on the monkey juice? Trying to listen to that. I've said this whole show that
y'all
I think
are wrong.
Bienemy,
about what?
I've said Bienemy is going to be the guy. I said all signs point to that. We can debate the offensive stuff later. We've talked about that. But I think that Alpha is going to be there. The guys that they've interviewed have worked with Bienemy. What is monkey juice anyways?
I have no idea.
Maybe crazy juice? I don't know.
Yeah.
What's crazy juice?
Just a term, expression. Y'all are on that crazy juice.
Oscar, you're on In the Loop on Reaction Monday. Are you drinking monkey juice?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Nah, but I wanted to tell you guys, like, I think it's crazy. I think football is Texas, and Texas is football. And I'm kind of upset, like, that even my favorite quarterback is on the verge of maybe getting traded. And I also want to say that I don't think we shouldn't, like, look for the North to find some football culture. I think, like, it should. Like, we need to find our own, and it's crazy.
I agree.
But
I agree. He's talking about Patriots South stuff. Man, if they hired Dable.
Find somebody from Houston.
They hired Dable, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It'd be very tough. Where's Eric Bieniemy from, by the way?
Originally? I know he went to Colorado.
Yeah, he did.
Is he from Miami?
Went to Colorado. Not sure.
I'll look it up.
He's interviewing with the Texans today, though, if you're just tuning in. Eric Bieniemy interviewing with your Houston Texans, maybe right now. Who knows? 713-572-4610. Urban Meyer.
New Orleans.
There we go. Urban Meyer is putting together a staff, including a member of the Houston Texans coaching staff this year. We'll give you the latest on that. Plus, another team does something the Texans have never, ever, ever done. Round the league next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.